I don't know if you noticed, I'm actually probably certain that you have, but the world sets different standards for children and adults. You know, you can't smoke until you get to a certain age. You can't drink until you reach 21. And in some ways it makes sense because we want to protect our children while they're young and innocent from making bad decisions. But why do we say it's all right for adults to harm themselves and others, because none of us are isolated and the harm we do to ourselves affects those around us, but why do we say it's all right for adults to do so anyway? You know, as Christians, hold on a second, let me get this where I can change it. As Christians, we need to be protected from the world around us. We, in that sense, are like children. We need to be protected from the world around us. In Matthew chapter 18, Matthew chapter 18 and verse 3, Jesus said, "Truly I say to you, unless you are converted and become like children, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever then humbles himself as this child, he is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." This morning when I was speaking in Grinnell, we were covering Psalms 131, which is actually a commentary on this idea of what it is to be humble yourself like a child, and discussing that. But Jesus' point is that we need to have that humility. We need to have that innocence to be a part of God's kingdom. And so like children, we need to isolate ourselves from the bad influences of the world around us. In 1 Peter chapter 2, 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 11, it says, "Beloved, I urge you as aliens and strangers to abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul." The world is in battle against us, is trying to change us, to make us like them. And we need to resist. We need to put up a fight against that. Because if we live after the world's standards, we're not going to make it to heaven. In fact, Paul says in Romans chapter 8, Romans chapter 8 and verse 12. "So then, brethren, we are under obligation not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if we are living according to the flesh, you must die. But if by the Spirit you are putting to death the deeds of the body, you will live." If we live according to the world standards, we will die. It's not an option. It's not a maybe. We won't make it. And so Paul urges, like the Corinthians who were becoming worldly, in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, he says in verse 1, "Therefore, having these promises," those are the promises of heaven, "beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all the defilements of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God." We're going to reach those promises. We got to get rid of the worldly influences out of our life. But like I've mentioned before, sometimes we let children do things, though we usually try to protect them from harmful things as adults until they get to adults. But sometimes we let children do things that we wouldn't let adults do. Sometimes we do it the other way around. You know, little kids, if you give them a bath, they'll take off and they'll run around naked around the house and they don't think anything about it. Might think it's cute because they're totally innocent of any concerns, but you'd be upset if an adult did that. And so what we do as adults is we get after the kids while they're young and tell them they need to wear proper clothing. That's actually an application of Proverbs chapter 22. Proverbs 22 and in verse 6. Train up a child in the way he should go, even when he's old, he will not depart from it. Train up the child in the way he should go. In other words, establish habits. The best time to establish habits is when the child is young. If we set our children on the right path now, even when they get older, habits kick in and keep them hopefully staying on the right path. But there are other things we have to consider, not just wearing proper clothing. Well, for instance, I've seen little girls wear short dresses that their mothers wouldn't wear because they're too short or too tight. Now, I know kids grow real fast and it's hard to keep them in proper clothes. But think about what's being set in their minds. What habits are you instilling? I've seen parents talk about how cute a little boy is with sagging pants, but then they complain about young men with sagging pants. Habits set in. I've seen little boys use polite swear words, but their fathers wouldn't dream of cursing someone out or taking the Lord's name in vain. I've seen children sent to dance classes, but we think it's wrong for adults to slow dance with someone that's not their spouse. Children are allowed to skip services because they slept late or have too much homework or have a ball game. Well, guess what happens when they become an adult? And work gets difficult. Or they got other obligations or something more important they want to do. Or at least they seem to want more important. What kind of habits do we instill? Are we raising our children up in the ways they should go? Or are we teaching them that worldly ways are just as important? Should we be letting our children do things while they're young that we'll have to ask them not to do when they mature? And I've talked to parents about this, and they usually the argument is, well, there's no harm. They don't understand these things. So why burden them with adult problems? Take a look at Lamentations chapter 3. Lamentations chapter 3 and verse 25. Lamentations is basically Jeremiah's lament over watching Jerusalem fall. And he mentions in chapter 3 in verse 25, he says, "The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the person who seeks him. It is good that he waits silently for the salvation of the Lord. It is good for a man that he should bear the yoke in his youth. Let him sit alone and be silent, since he has laid it on him. Let him put his mouth to the dust, perhaps there is hope. Let him give his cheek to the spider. Let him be filled with reproach. For the Lord will not reject forever." Children need to become accustomed to the yoke. What he's referring to is the raising of oxen. Now, I don't know if you've seen an oxen up close. They're big animals. Now, they're basically a half-ton creature. They're the engines. They pulled the plows, they pulled the wagons. They were the engines of the old days. If an oxen didn't want to go someplace, guess what? You can't push him because he's bigger than you are. So how do you get an oxen to pull a cart? Or pull a plow? Well, what they did was they, when they were young, as soon as they could, they put a yoke, they put a piece of board on their backs. Of course, a young oxen's not going to like a piece of board, but after a while, you know, after fighting it for a little bit, they kind of get used to it. And as they get older, you put a little heavier one and a little bigger one. And as they get older, you put a little bigger one. And eventually, by the time they are adults, they're used to having a board on their back. And you put a yoke on them, and they will think nothing of it. Because that's the way they spend all their life. So what's the point there? It's good for a person to bear the yoke in his youth. Are there restrictions? Are there burdens that have to be placed when you're following God? And the answer is yes. You can't, as a Christian, do anything that you want and expect to get to heaven. Okay, there are some restrictions. Now, they're good for you restrictions, but there's still restrictions there. When's the time to get used to the restrictions? When you're young. Now, you might lighten it a little bit. You might, you know, make it a little bit easier so they can grow into it, but they're still there. And then when you get old, you're accustomed to following those ways. Now, compared to the burdens of the world, the burdens of Christ they're easy, they're mild, but they're still burdens. Take a look at Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11 and in verse 29. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Jesus is not saying you have no burdens and no yoke. He's saying compared to what the world puts on you, it's not that bad. In fact, it's quite easy. Take a look at what Solomon said in Ecclesiastes chapter 11. Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 9. Rejoice, young man, during your childhood, and let your heart be pleasant during the days of young manhood, and follow the impulses of your heart and the desires of your eyes. Yet know that God will bring you to judgment for all these things. So remove grief and anger from your heart and put away pain from your body, because childhood and the prime of life are fleeting. Remember also your Creator in the days of your youth, before the evil days come and the years draw near when you will say, I have no delight in them. When's the best time to serve God? When you're young. It makes sense. I don't know if I mentioned it, but Lewis and I were talking beforehand and talking about, he was asking how whether my parents were Christians, and this actually goes back four generations back. In my childhood, I can only remember probably less than a handful of times that we missed a service, other than illness. I mean, my parents went out. We would travel. We would go, like, I remember we took two trips out to California. One was 4 weeks, one was 5 weeks. We were at church every Sunday and every Wednesday, except for one place in Montana, Whitefish, Montana. There was supposed to be a church there. We couldn't find it. I mean, we tried. Spent an hour trying to find it. finally said, well, if we leave now, we can make it to another town. Actually, Great Falls, where Nathan's currently at. We can make it to Great Falls and we can at least go to church there. Because Mom and Dad knew where there was one there. Like I said, it was rare. I get antsy if I miss church. It's a well-graded habit. 62 years of going to church kind of does that to you. But that's what you want. That's what you want to instill. Not only in yourself, but also in your children. Some people believe that when young people need a time to sow their wild oats. So I've even seen some cultures like the Amish. You know, they actually have a period of time where they just basically say, well, you know, the kids are going to be kids. And they're going to go do some things. But take a look at what is said in Proverbs 22. Proverbs 22 and in verse 8. He who sows iniquity will reap vanity, and the rod of his fury will perish. You sow sin, what are you going to... If I go out there and plant corn, what am I going to get? I'm going to get corn, yes. I don't expect to find soybeans or marigolds. You know, I'm going to get corn. If I sow sin, the harvest is going to be sin. Or as this puts, vanity, uselessness, or sorrows, or troubles. Because that's what happens when sin is sown. Take a look at Hosea chapter 10. Hosea chapter 10. And we're going to read verse 12. Sow with a view to righteousness. Reap in accordance with kindness. Break up your fallow ground. For it's time to seek the Lord until he comes to rain righteousness on you. You have planted wickedness. You have reaped injustice. You have eaten the fruit of lies because you have trusted in your way, in your numerous warriors. It goes both ways. If I plant righteousness, guess what I get? I get the results of righteousness. If I plant wickedness, it's just logical. I'll get the results of wickedness. What should children be encouraged to do? Plant righteousness. That's why the one we read in Ecclesiastes, it said basically that while you're young, do what you would like to do. That's the time to, you know, follow your desires. But remember that God's going to bring you into judgment. It's not a time, just because you're doing your following your impulses, not means you follow impulses into evil. You plant righteousness. Take a look at Galatians. Galatians chapter 6. And in verse 7. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, this he will also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. Same points being made. You get what you sow. And don't let anybody tell you otherwise. The same thing you put in comes out. Actually, we made this point before. Go back to Hosea again. Hosea, this time, chapter 8. If you think about it, when I plant a corn seed, I don't expect a corn seed back. I'm expecting a whole corn cob full of corn seeds. And what Hosea says, in Hosea 8 and verse 7, he says, "For they sow the wind, they reap the whirlwind. The standing grain has no heads, it yields no grain. Should it yield, strangers would swallow it up." But I want you to notice the beginning. You plant wind, you get a tornado out of it. If I plant righteousness, I don't get a little bit of righteousness back. God's actually saying you get a lot of kindness back. But if I plant sin, I don't get a little small consequence from that. I get a whole bunch more than I expected. Just like if I plant a seed, I expect a bunch of seeds back. So the idea that boys will be boys and they'll grow out of it, it's a lie. If they're not trained to do what's right, they'll continue to do what's wrong. That's just the way nature is. And so what you find instead, take a look at what Paul told Timothy. Timothy was a young man in 1 Timothy chapter 4. And in verse 12, he's told, "Let no one look down on your youthfulness, but rather in speech, conduct, love, faith, and purity, show yourself as an example to those who believe." Even though he's a young man, be an example for everyone of what it is to be righteous. All of this is to say what Paul said in Ephesians chapter 6. In Ephesians chapter 6 and in verse 4. "Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and the instruction of the Lord." Don't be overly burdensome, but have them follow the teachings of Christ. That's how you bring up children. Don't bring them up in worldliness. Don't teach them things that they shouldn't do when they get older. Strive to make righteous living a natural habit. And when they get old, they won't depart from it. There's been a poem that's been floating around for many, 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 many decades. But it says, "Mary had a little boy. His soul was white as snow. He never went to Sunday school because Mary wouldn't go. He never heard the truth of Christ that thrilled the childish mind. While other children went to class, this child was left behind. And as he grew from babe to youth, she saw to her dismay a soul that once was snowy white became a dingy gray. Realizing he was lost, she tried to win him back. But now the soul that once was white had turned an ugly black. She started even going back to church and Bible study too. She begged the preacher, 'Isn't there a thing that you can do?' The preacher tried, failed, and said, 'We're just too far behind. I tried to tell you years ago, but you would pay no mind.' And so another soul is lost that once was white as snow. Sunday school could have helped, but Mary wouldn't go." I hope you think about those things. I know most of us are older and we're looking at our grandchildren being raised, but it's still something we need to consider. We need to know. Be able to teach the next generation. If there's anyone here today who's not yet a child of God, there's no better time than right now to put on Christ. And for those of you who are children of God and would like the prayers of your brethren on your behalf, we offer an opportunity there as well. Why don't you come forward as we stand and sing the song we'll select.